Now, Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ms. Dooley, go ahead.
So I think the most surprising thing, though, about Trent Lott is that people are surprised.
In what way?
Well, Trent Lott comes from the South. They don't like blacks down there. I mean, this is a traditional...
There's such a thing as the Old South and the New South.
Phil, believe me, they don't. The whites and the blacks down there do not. They just don't get along because the whites at one time had them as slaves, the blacks. And I have to tell you something. Janice Burley and I were on our way to the National Association of Homeowner Association conclave in Monterey. We were howling with laughter, looking at how surprised everyone was that Trent Lott doesn't like black people.
This didn't surprise you?
No, the man comes from Mississippi. The man is, it's one of the most backward areas in the world. Do you read Condé Nast magazine?
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a travel magazine. They rate the worst places for travelers, and Mississippi came in just ahead of Serbia. So,
all right, so you're not surprised that Trent Lott... You were not surprised that Trent Lott said he was digging the segregationist candidacy of Strom Thurmond.
You know, Phil, we weren't. We're lucky. We come from California. This is a very progressive part of the nation, as you know. There is no real racial bias or racialness in California. If you look at the great black people that live here, I mean, Denzel Washington, Sidney Poitier, Halle Berry, Oprah Winfrey, Quincy Jones, all of them are black. And where do they live?
They live in California.
They live in California. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. And the reason why there is no bigotry here is because...
Well, when you say there's no bigotry in California...
Because we're so past that, Phil. Racism is so 5 minutes ago. Racial prejudice is... It shows in our way how we're trying to lead the country out of racialness. And, you know, it's tough.
All right, I got faxed a communique from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I wanted to ask you what this was.
That was a memorandum to the media from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and I'll read from it if I could, Phil.
Okay, just before you do, you're commenting on Trent Lott's comments that he supported Strom Thurmond. Many people thought meant he supported segregation. You say it's because he's from the South.
He's just... from an area of the country that is not that developed. We're lucky. We're Californians. We live in a gated community. We have some 150 beautiful homes on half acres. Our home is 6,500 square feet. We have a beautiful pool and spa. We have a built-in barbecue. We've got wonderful neighbors. We're very California casual, and we really strive to maintain the equalness and the equality of the equal, you know, to have the you know, blacks and everybody just on a...
Being equal?
Yes, being equal and all the equal things that go with that. And I just love being equal. I love it. I love being equal. I love being the same. We're always trying to show that we're better than everyone else. Trent Lott is typical of that. He comes from Mississippi. Hello. I saw films of the black ones being beaten with... Oh, my God, Steve, what was it?
It looked like a garden hose.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Dooley, it was a fire hose.
A fire hose. They turned fire hoses on those people. Where? Where, Steve? Let's say it together. One, two, three.
In the South.
In the South. So I think here in California, we're very California casual, and we can show people the way.
All right, now you were going to read the letter that you wrote to the media, and I'll let you do that in just a minute, but I'm going to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She's on her way to a national conclave of homeowners associations in Monterey, California. I'm surprised you can hear me. I've been in propeller-driven airplanes. They're very loud.
They are, Phil, but we have a great pilot. His name is Gene Gleason. He's a wonderful guy, and he rigged up my cell phone so that I could hear it through the headphones that he's given me. It's a lot of fun.
All right. You wrote a letter to the media. What does it say?
This is in reference to the Trent Lott situation. We, the Board of Directors of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, duly declare that Trent Lott, being a Southerner, was very predictable in his racism. We further state that it is the stated policy of our homeowners to screen applicants from the South for racialism and bigotry. We had a family move in, Phil, as you know, from Jacksonville, Florida. And I understand that Jacksonville, Florida is very deep South, very, very much anti-black. And I met with this family. I told them that this was California. You want to move out here, there's a few things you got to understand, okay? First of all, if you get any ideas about being Trent Lott, get it out of your head. Conduct yourselves that way in our community, and we will have no problem but to revoke your Homeowners Association membership, assess you an extra $1,000 a month in homeowners fees, increase your mortgage, and generally make it very difficult for you to live here.
Well, God, that is almost like economically harassing people.
Well,
I mean, that is. So they tell racial jokes?
Well, Phil, it's not that we don't allow racial jokes.
Well, what do you allow? If you say that at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, you don't let any Southerners in because they are against black people, what do you allow?
I didn't say we didn't let Southerners in.
But you pre-screen them?
Yes.
Do you screen people from other parts of the country?
No, we do not.
Why not?
Because they don't have any history of hating Negro Americans. We're talking about Southern whites who have a history of hating Negro Americans.
All right, Bobby.
No, I really want to get on with my letter here. Then I also wanted to make note of the fact that we don't allow racial jokes in the community center or near our community pool. We do not allow them in any public areas. We do have a once-a-month barbecue where we do allow people to kind of let their hair down, and they can do watermelon gags or anything like that at that time. But we're out in California. And especially...
Hold on for a minute. What do you mean watermelon gags?
If you want to do fried chicken or anything like that, there's a barbecue once a month that lets you do that.
All right. And okay, so I think I got it all, Bobby. I think you're telling me that nobody in California is a racist.
I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, you're saying that the homeowners
association... I'm saying that homeowners association, gated communities, homeowners associations, we are a little bit higher, I think, in our awareness than a lot of these people from the Deep South and the Southern ones that don't like the Negro Americans.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. The Western States Homeowners Association, Bobby and Steve Dooley, the president and vice president, they sent a memo to the media saying that they decry the racism of Trent Lott, but they're not surprised he's a white Southerner. Don't you think that that's bigoted?
What?
The fact that you think white Southerners are bigoted?
I don't understand.
In other words, for you to assume that because a white man or a woman comes from the South, they're a racist, isn't that in and of itself prejudice?
I don't understand. You're saying...
I'm saying not every white man or woman from the South is a bigot, not like every white man or woman from California is not a bigot.
Phil, you're missing my point.
Well, what am I missing?
The point is, in California, we're very casual. We have pools. We love to sit around in light cotton shirts, and we laugh, and we don't care what color you are. We have a wonderful laugh in light cotton shirts and slacks. We have wonderful mixers. I don't know, Caribbean barbecues. You're black, you're white, I don't care. I can have a wonderful time with you, and yes, have some casual sex or not with you, and I don't care what color you are. As a matter of fact, in California, we love African Americans because they're wonderful people, and yes, they are very romantic and very sexy.
Whatever that's got to do with it.
Well, I'm making a point, Phil.
Okay, well, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, the Western States Homeowners Association, and they also wrote a letter saying that anybody who moves into their association from the South has to conduct themselves appropriately and get any ideas about being Trent Lott out of your head. She has a family who just moved in from Jacksonville, Florida, which she identifies as the Deep South, and she told them no spook jokes. Now, when I asked her, why would you use that offensive word, she says, I want to speak their language. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
He's out. He's out. Trent Ludd is out. There's no way that he's coming back. He's out.
Well, that's not news.
Well, excuse me?
That's not news. Trent Ludd's gone. I said it last week.
Well, Phil, I've got a memorandum that I passed around to our homeowners association 2 weeks ago. That's 3 days after he said what I said. And I said then, Trent Ludd is gone. He is dead meat. Now, Phil, there's an old term we used when we were playing cards. See a heart, play a heart. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not.
Well, it's the same in the South. Vote a racist, be a racist. And that's what Trent Ludd was trying to say. That's what those Southerners do. In California, we don't do that. In California, everything is wash and wear. We have marvelous seersucker tops. And we just know how to get along with each other.
1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association responding to the Trent Ludd controversy. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I was trying to figure out how somebody that lives in a gated community with, I think you said 6,500 square foot house, could even relate to what most folks in the South feel or think or do or whatever.
Well, that's true, Chris. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a gated community.
I think it's sort of like a little castle with a moat around it.
No, it's not really. We have 150 homes, and we have a gate and security. It's something that...
Why do you need security if you're so... If everybody is so... Get-alongsy and
well,
no crime and... Is that a form of prejudice?
It's a form of showing that we really value our community. It's fun. It's just fun to go and see the gates and know that once you go behind those gates, you're a little bit different. You have something that somebody else doesn't have.
No, but the guy's point is well made. Are you afraid of something?
Well, I'm not afraid of black people, which
well,
is what they're afraid of. Which they're
what
afraid
kind
of in the
South. Are you afraid of? Dogs?
Criminals. Criminals, mostly. Aren't you? So, Chris,
probably not.
What we
want to
do.
I don't live in a gated community.
Well, when they get them down there, I think you should go look at one.
They've got gate. Where do you live, Chris?
I live on about 140 acres south of Atlanta.
I know that you're from the South. Could you speed up the way you talk, though?
No, ma'am.
Just,
I'm talking
talk
a little bit like I want to.
I really appreciate
you
talking.
Like
let her.
To.
Let the man talk.
Well, you're talking very slowly.
Well, that's how I choose to talk, ma'am. You're talking very fast to my ear, so
well, Chris,
but I'm
do
not
I
criticizing
have to,
you for
do I have to remind you that all the blacks that live out here in California live in peace and harmony, and down south, they...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well,
like O.J.
Yeah.
And
you
like,
mean the whole rioting thing?
Chavez that was
well,
the head
well,
of
that's
the
not fair.
Hispanic labor movement in California,
well,
wasn't it Chavez?
Well, he's... What's
what
he
was
got,
that all about?
Excuse me, Chris, that's Mexican, that's not black.
What's the difference?
Good,
it's right.
Chris,
wait a minute. The man just
the
said
difference.
that you know O.J. Simpson and the riots.
No, that was different. Don't bring that up. That was totally different.
Oh,
we live among the blacks that I know: Denzel Washington, Oprah Winfrey, Scatman Crothers, Bill Robinson, Mr.
Martin Luther King was born and raised in Atlanta. I mean,
that's
you know,
right.
If you want to name those kind of names, we can do the same thing here.
Well, but could he get into some of the better restaurants? See? Now,
oh, come on. Will you please?
Who is Martha King?
I'm sorry?
Who is Martha King?
Martin Luther.
Martin Luther King.
I thought
Martin,
you said
I'm sorry I was speaking too fast.
Well, no, but you see. Oh, see? That's very. All I'm asking you to do, Chris, is just to talk at this pace right here. Hi, my name is Chris, and I come from. Except, hi, my name is.
Will you stop it? The man speaking the way the man wants to speak. Thank you very much, Chris. I think you made some good points, and I understood you perfectly. 1-800-449-8686. Are all Southern whites racists? Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association to debate just that. She feels that she wasn't surprised.
Why did he bring up the O.J. thing?
I'm sorry?
Why did he bring up O.J.?
Because of the riots. Not the riots. How about the... Well, maybe O.J. isn't a good example. Of Rodney King riots. You said all the African Americans live in peace and harmony.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Christ. He's bringing up something that's almost 10 years ago.
No, you said that all of the black folks out here lived in peace and harmony.
That is so 5 minutes ago. Phil, I live now. I'm in the now. We're very California casual. We wear light summer cotton wear.
Yeah, light summer cotton wear with seersucker tops. And that's supposed to tell me what? That we get along with each other better? Here is Don on the Phil Henry Show. Don, go ahead.
Yes, I was angry when I started listening to this show, but actually it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was born on a sharecropping farm in Alabama. I'm 62 years old.
Are you black?
I'm white, and I don't have any prejudice in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of back fans.
Mm-hmm.
This lady is the most bigoted and the most prejudiced person I've heard on the air, and I'm not even proud that she's white.
Well, no,
Hold on for a minute, Don. The South,
wait,
she's throwing the whole South down for nothing. What does she think about Louis Farrakhan? What do you think about him?
Lou Farrakhan? I don't know him.
Yes.
Louis Farrakhan.
Come on, do you ever read the paper or listen to the radio?
Oh, please. Who's Louis Farrakhan?
What do you think about all black colleges?
All what?
All black colleges.
Cabbages?
Yeah, college.
Black colleges.
I think they're wonderful. I think it's like Spike Lee came from one.
That's prejudice against whites. Now, what do you think about that?
No, it isn't. You can go if you want.
Well, I'm just telling you, you're the most prejudiced person I ever heard in my life.
But I want to ask you, was Louis Farrakhan the Incredible Hulk? Because
Louis Farrakhan
was one of the most outspoken black people in the United States, and you brought up Harry Belafonte the other day. Listen to me, ma'am. I've listened to you for 30 minutes. Harry Belafonte made the most ignorant statement about the man in government there about being a house boy. And I would have voted for that man, and he's black. I'd vote for him tomorrow. Would
Harry,
you?
You'd vote for Harry Belafonte?
No, I'd vote for the man he talked about.
Who?
Colin Powell. He called Colin Powell a house boy for Mr. Bush, and he's black, and he's one of the most intelligent people I've met in my life, and I'm from Alabama.
I want to be clear. You say that Harry Belafonte called Colin Powell ass boy.
House boy. He called the president, his president's house boy. That is the most silliest thing I've ever heard, and he's black. Come on, lady.
You're the most biggest person
I ever heard in my life.
Don, wait a minute.
California is no better than anywhere else that I've ever been, and I've been going there for years.
Don,
you can't breathe, you're liberal, you're everything.
I follow the trends, and the trend out
you
here
don't
in California
follow anything. California is not squat.
Be
come down south and enjoy the real South every once in a while and find out what the South is all about.
I've been to the South.
Slow, with a little kick back. That's no problem.
I love to go to the South, but I don't like
houses. No, you
don't.
You put it all down. You thought Mississippi ordered... ride you out of California on a rail.
No, I said that Condé Nast rated Mississippi one step above Serbia for traveling.
I don't believe that.
California is one step below hell, but you live there in a gated community because you're afraid to step out.
Well, I'll say this for you, Don. You talk
faster
than that other guy.
Hey, I know what gated communities is.
What is it?
We've got plenty of people down here in gated communities. You got to go through the gate.
Wait a minute, Don. A gated community is not the county jail. I'm talking about...
Don't be a wise-ass, okay?
Well, that's what you meant by gated community. No. I'm saying that gated communities in California are very casual.
You are fun funny.
You are
to go into to that kind of life because you tell the best jokes that nobody ever seen. You haven't said anything but jokes since you got on the radio.
What?
I'm from Alabama and I'm from the South and I'm not prejudiced. My best friends are black, so I don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where you're coming from either. You ought to listen to yourself.
What do you say?
I don't know, but you're I love you. I just
know you don't
all right,
love
okay,
me, lady.
You don't love him.
You don't love me because you don't know me.
You remind me of the guy.
You remind me of the most liberal person I've ever heard in my life.
Cool Hand Luke.
All right, thank you very much, Don. Good points, man. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association, and we were talking here about.
He sounds like Foghorn Leghorn, didn't I?
Will you shut up? And we're talking here about. Every white man from the South is a racist. Unlike us out here in California, we're very casual. We wear light summer cotton wear. Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby, you there?
Yes.
You say that you have a barbecue once a month at the Western States Homeowners Association where you can tell, and I'm quoting, some watermelon jokes and a couple of fried chicken gags. Isn't that right?
I said, and I really resent you taking it out of context, I said that if you are so inclined to repeat racial jokes in public, you can do it at our public barbecue. But we do not like it. This is California. We are casual. We accept all colors, all people, no matter where you're from. And we will even, in cases, intermarry with you. Now, you can't say that about everywhere. Now, I wanted to...
You know, you don't have to tell me about intermarrying. I had a black girlfriend that I almost married, and I was living in Florida at the time.
Yes, but you're from California.
All right, but...
You're from California. All bets are off. You learned that out here, Phil. You learned it here, and you took it to Florida. Is Craig there?
He's here.
All right, Craig, go ahead and play Cut 1, Track 4. This is an example of indigenous Negro American music. And we have done duplicate copies of this. We're sending this off to Trent Lott and his staff so that they can identify it. And so that when he goes on Black Entertainment Television again, he won't look so completely stupid as he did last night. And he can be conversant with... Now, this is Mississippi John...
Mississippi?
No, I'm sorry, Mississippi John Hurt. Here, listen. Very dark. The man is very dark. He is playing a very wholesome wood grain guitar. And you listen to that. Isn't that wonderful? He's got a little glass of gin. And his friends are there with bad teeth and smoking cigarettes. And there's a large, fat black woman behind a bar loading up shot glasses full of whiskey. And now, notice the guitar. It's deep, dark wood grain cherry wood. And
oh, come on!
What?
Will you get out of here? Turn it off.
I have never been spoken to that way, Phil.
What do you mean, dark wood grain cherry wood?
I'm telling you about what blacks use.
What blacks use? The guitar that Mississippi John Hurt's using is probably used by white guys, too. Did you ever think of that?
Phil, I get it. You don't. I'm in California.
Well, so am I, and I don't get it. 1-800-449-8686. Hamilton, go ahead.
Yes, I'm referring to Bobby's comment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big house. We live in gated communities.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. And I don't see your point that all Floridians or Southerners are racist and Californians aren't.
Well, California is a trendsetter, as you know, Hamilton. The gated community out here is more than just a gated community. It is almost an oasis. It is a planned, futuristic place where all of us can live in harmony. Black, white, Indian, Mongolian, I don't know other countries, Canadian, whatever. In Florida, it's almost as if something went wrong, something terribly wrong. It's almost
all
like
right,
California
well,
after a nuclear blast, you know? It's just, everything's been leveled.
Well, we live in our gated community,
mm-hmm.
you know, 6,500 square feet isn't big in our gated community.
Mm-hmm.
So we have black people that live in there.
So you guys are wealthy, Hamilton. Your folks are wealthy?
Well, I'd say we're very fortunate.
Okay, that's very good.
We're in the position that we're in.
Plenty of homes are much larger than 6,500 square feet.
Well, you know, you can wave your big flag and say you're better than us, but we wear light cotton summer wear.
What has this got
to do? Well, we do, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't even wear shirts. I'm casual.
Yes, but are you casual?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I have to check on that. Because
okay.
What are you checking?
Well, I thought that California was the most casual.
All right, let's say California's the most casual. Does that mean it's the least racist?
Well, it would follow, Phil, yes. Hamilton, how old are you, dear?
15.
All right, do you recognize this?
Daddy, come on your home.
Who is it?
I do not recognize
him. He doesn't know anything about blacks.
Okay.
I'll look
at
it.
Let me tell you this.
About black people.
You talk about your casual sex. Maybe we have morals, you know, down south.
What I said was this, Hamilton. We don't have a problem with having overt and, yes, sometimes very aggressive sex with members of another race or species. Now, there in Florida, if you have a hang-up about that, I would say that that's racial fullness.
I don't think we have a hang-up. I think most of us wait till marriage because
yes.
We have ethics and morals.
Good for you, Hamilton.
Oh, my God, Phil, you're such a hypocrite.
No, I'm not. I'm saying
no,
good
no, no.
for you, Hamilton. He's a young man with morals. It's good for you, pal.
What a...
And when she says her community will find people when they don't...
Yes.
When they
if
will...
If they tell any
racist,
watermelon... Yes.
how you're being a racist when you're doing that.
No, I don't want anyone shooting some of those watermelon gags when it's not at the barbecue.
But yet you allow it?
At the barbecue, yes.
You're allowing it?
Of course.
So you're being a hypocrite.
I don't understand.
Well, he's absolutely
saying,
you are.
You're saying you do not allow racism.
All right, Hamill. Thank you. I think you made a very good point. He's saying you don't allow...
Can you let him say it?
I hung up on him. You don't allow... You allow racial jokes, but only at the weekly or the monthly barbecue.
Yes, at our monthly pork-a-thon, we do.
All right, let me talk to Thomas. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that this woman is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody cares what kind of clothes you wear out there. And as far as and having sex, you just made a comment about having sex with different species. What other species are you having sex with?
I meant race. I meant race.
Well, you said species,
okay.
Like horses?
Yeah, she said species.
Okay, let's beat it into the ground.
Well, why not? You misspoke. Hey, Trent Lott misspoke, too, and that guy's losing his job. You want to have sex with gophers, and I got you on the freaking phone.
How dare you? I never said gophers.
You said species. You said species.
Yes, I'd also like to add, you know,
I meant Chinese.
You're talking about people being racist in California.
I meant
what
the
about all the police beatings out there on blacks?
Where?
In California.
I'm not familiar with that. The police out here are wonderful. They take care of our community. And they partake in many of our pool events, many of our community center events. They're always at the pool. They're rarely in their squad car.
I'm not saying that all police are bad out there, but California, when South Central Los Angeles has been known for police abusing people of color.
Well, then they deserved it.
Nobody deserved it.
Wait a minute.
No, the police don't beat anyone unless they've committed a crime.
Oh,
come on, lady.
Our police,
my God.
Excuse me, Thomas. Our police are extremely casual. They are men and women who are devoted to a casual approach.
This casual stuff's making me sick.
Well, that's fine.
All right. Thanks very much. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to take one more phone call. And
why aren't you talking? Sound pissed.
I am. Our police are very casual.
Okay, so...
My mama's heart.
You hear that? I broke my mama's heart.
My mama's heart.
Most probably because he was in the jail cell or some kind of a cage. Now, that's probably in a large wooden room. He's beating one foot on the floor on a stool. And
good.
Phil, by the way, Western Estate Security wears Hawaiian shirts. Now, what that says is this. When we have our security guards at the gate, we want to be secure and we want to keep people out. But we want to keep people out in a casual manner. About two nights ago, a man got through. He was some homeless person. And Dave, who works security, was forced to take out a billy stick and had to beat the man. Not badly. But wouldn't you rather be beaten bloody by a man in a casual shirt than a man wearing a badge?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, now that you put it that way, that's true. I'd much rather have the crap beat out of me, seven shades of it, by a guy wearing a just light cotton Caribbean wear.
Yes.
Excuse me. Ruby, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. How can you be so stupid? Ruby, go ahead.
Listen, I had a lot to say, but I'm getting sick. This woman is pathetic. What are her credentials?
Mm-hmm.
Who is she to talk? And who cares? Is she for real?
Mm-hmm.
Does she actually work somewhere? She's talking about all this garbage about what people are wearing, who do we want to get beaten up by. She should be beaten up. Is this a joke? Are you paying some lunatic off the street to insult all of our intelligence? This can't be real.
Beaten up isn't the word.
No way is this woman. I don't want to talk to you because you're nuts. You're a psycho.
Okay,
you're not a psychiatrist. You can't talk about anybody.
You're not a psychiatrist
either. Listen, I like black people. I like all people as long as they're respectable and they're not trying to beat me up no matter what they're wearing.
Do you know this song?
I can't listen to you because I've been listening 20 minutes and I want you to know this radio station's got my attention. Since ever I heard you, I've been sick to my stomach.
I don't understand her. Are you from America?
You have said nothing that made sense. Everything you said is pathetic. I'm from America, but I'd like to know what planet are you from?
Well, I don't know if you've been there.
Defend yourself, because, lady, you are pathetic. Really, what are you on? I want to know. You and your casual clothes.
The radio.
What the hell are you on?
What color are you?
Any color you think I should be, because obviously you don't like what people are saying, so you think you could ridicule someone else, and I don't think you're in any position.
Well,
I think you're stoned out, you're strung out on drugs. I don't know what you're doing with an opinion. You're insane. How could your opinion
come
to anything?
Okay, I'll answer your question. But
I never
can,
asked
I,
you a
can
question.
I ask you something? Are you calling from a special school? Because you sound pretty slow.
I sound slow?
Yeah. Are you calling from some special school?
Were they what, ma'am? Come on, speak up.
Well, I didn't want to
you
say.
You got to be a little intelligent here. You're on a talk show. You're defending God.
All right,
God,
let me ask you something. Do you own a pair of light cotton khakis?
What are you defending anyway? Are you defending cotton clothes? Is that what it is? I bet you that's what it is. It's got nothing to do with race and the color of people and who's getting beamed up by who. Oh, my God, you're a clothes designer, aren't you? You want all of us in the United States of America to wear your clothes. Is that what this is really about? Is there going to be California written all over some kind of new lining of clothing? Is that this? Oh, man. You see, I knew it had to be something. And tell me, your sexual partners, those animals, what will they be wearing?
Do you control your wheelchair with a pencil?
All right, fine. Can I cut that off now? It's not that I don't mind it. It's not that I mind it. It's just that I...
You do mind it, because you're racial.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Well, whatever. Trent Lott, he ain't got no gig. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
Well, welcome to our show, and welcome to this portion of our program called Our Flashback. We're going to lay a little Margaret on you. Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist. Sean Penn, as you know, has been in Baghdad. And Margaret believes that other Americans should go to Iraq like Sean Penn. Otherwise, shut your mouth about it, because Sean Penn grew a pair. Why don't you?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, there's no good war, period. And Sean Penn has proven over the years he can't even do his own thing, much less anything for anybody else. And
he's
I just want to ask Margaret.
Actors.
I just want to ask Margaret how long she was in Bosnia.
I was covering the Bosnian War for 3 years.
How long were you in Bosnia?
I was there for 3 years.
You were not in Bosnia.
You were in Rome.
You were in
I
Rome.
I was covering the hell of that. What are you intimating?
There is no hell in Rome. Bosnia is where the hell was, and where there's a war zone.
Sir, I got up every morning, I went down to a little cafe and read dispatches from the Bosnian war
wept. Well, you had your cappuccino and coffee, lady. I was in Vietnam. I rolled around in the mud. I've been shot at. I've shot at people. I know more about war than you'll ever know.
When you were being shot at...
You don't even have any right to discuss war.
I was there when the dispatches came through about the smoldering bodies. And I couldn't eat my breakfast. A beautiful
did you smell them? Did the dispatches smell like war?
I'll tell you this much. They would serve me a wonderful garlic fish that at times smelled like a dead body.
Lady, you need to take a
wait
hike.
Wait a minute.
That's
what are you trying to say? You're trying to say that your garlic fish reminded you of a dead body?
I don't know what either one of you gentlemen are saying to me, but I was covering the Bosnian...
You were not
you
in Bosnia.
You weren't covering nothing. You were covering a table, a menu, a restaurant, lady. Wake up. Get a life.
You said you were rolling around in mud, and exactly what game of Ollie Ollie Oxentree was that? You know...
He said he was in Vietnam as a combat... Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, I was a combat. I was a grunt.
He was
a
grunt.
I had a 55-pound pack, M16. I wallowed around in mud. I know all about it.
Where? On maneuvers somewhere in the middle of California?
No, in Vietnam, he said.
The Quatrain province, lady.
Well, if you're mocking my experience, then I can mock yours. And I would.
You were not in Bosnia. You were at a table at a Roman cafe in Rome, at a restaurant.
What are you saying?
You're war correspondent, you're a journalist, and you need to be writing novels.
I will tell you this much. Sean Penn is making up his own mind. We should all do the same. Go to Iraq, make up our minds, then come home. Otherwise, we have no business being led around by Trent Lott and George Bush.
Wait a minute. How did Trent Lott get into this?
They're all in the same... You know what I'm talking about. Bill, I dare you to speak to me about Iraq.
Yeah,
I dare you.
Lady insults because all unless you go there, I've got to go.
Go ahead. Tell me about Iraq. She doesn't know. See?
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, you know, of all of our guests, Margaret Gray belches the most. Definitely. And she's always just had lunch. And if you haven't guessed by now, that was me doing the voice of Margaret. Thank you. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Trent, you ever heard this? All right, it's good for you. I will tell you that I have seen Mississippi John Hurt, and I also saw Big Bill Brunsey at Chicago Cafe, so I believe I can do a lot of good for this country. What if Trent Lott learned how to play blues guitar, like, just better than anybody, and came out, whipped out that axe, did all that stuff, you know, became just another white boy who could play the blues? I bet you he could retain his seat in the Senate. I bet you'd be able to hold on to his seat. You think he's holding on to his seat right now? He's holding on to more than that. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, but here's the more important number, 877-616-7445. That gets you the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, World Famous. This year, we're very proud to announce that our double CD sells for only $20, the same price as our single CDs, down through the year. So you can say, this year you're getting a bargain, or you can say the preceding 4 years you were getting ripped off. But either way, this year's double CD is only $20. Call now, 877-616-7445. Pick up that CD. The money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Tremendous group of people who help kids every day who live on the streets here in Los Angeles. And they're from everywhere, all over America. Where you're listening to me right now, most probably there's a kid from your town living out on the sidewalks here. My Friend's Place helps them out. Please call 877-616-7445. Give them a hand. Get our CD. You'll enjoy it. It's great. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
For the time.
I know, Phil. I completely lost the copy for the commercial. Let me just say this. I appreciate all the patronage the Teds of Beverly Hills gets down through the years. We hope it continues. But my son's school has had its annual Christmas pageant, and Josh again asked my permission and his mother's permission to be in it, and we again told him no, he could not.
Now, this is like 6-7 years you've not allowed your son, who I believe is a seventh grader.
No, Josh is in the sixth grade. He just turned 12, so he's one of the older sixth graders.
All right, and you won't let him be in the pageant. Why?
Well, the teacher wanted Josh to play one of the wise men, or Joseph, who is apparently the father of this man, Jesus Christ. So, and then, which is one of the things that I don't understand, Jesus is supposed to have a virgin birth, but he has a father. So it kind of gives you a chuckle when you think about these things.
Well, there is an explanation for that, but I...
There is.
Yeah, the virgin birth is from God. Joseph was a stepfather.
All right, but we don't let him be in these Christmas pageants. We always make sure that we have tickets, though, and I think that that's something. And for us to get a letter asking us not to go to the Christmas pageant, I thought was rude. I thought was ungrateful. I thought that...
What school does your son go to?
He goes to Belmar.
And that's a private school.
That's $11,000 a year, yes, sir.
That's a lot of money.
That's exactly right.
And you've been asked not to come to this pageant because your son won't be in it?
We don't want our son in it. Here's the thing. If you go to this Christmas pageant, and I'm sure there are millions of parents out there that would agree with me, when you go to these kids' plays, they are absolutely hysterical. The children I know work hard, but they're so bad, you couldn't find worse acting if you rented every B-movie out there. And the thing is, they rehearse for 4 months, and they're still terrible. You know, and so...
Well, obviously it's going to be bad. They're little kids.
Well, I'm not complaining. I think it's hysterical, but I'm not going to let my kid be in it. I don't want my boy being the laughing stock of the school. All these other parents are content to have their children up on a stage, acting bad in these stupid plays, and they're hysterically funny. I'm not going to have my son be the laughing stock of the school. I can tell you about three or four kids. I don't want to mention any names, but Marcy and I go to this thing every year. Josh doesn't want to go unless he's in it. We say, fine. We get a ticket, we twist one up at home. When we get over to that, we sit in the car in the parking lot, and we fire it up, and we get high. And you go into these things, and they are absolutely hysterically funny. Now, what happened was the school sent us a letter.
Just so I'm clear, you're getting stoned and going to a child's Christmas pageant.
Okay, Mother Teresa, just back down.
I'm not making any moral judgments.
No, and I can hear it in the tone of your voice. Just back down. Phil, we're not hurting anybody. We go, we watch. It's really funny. It's two enjoyable hours.
But I want to be clear. You're sitting and laughing at children who are in a Christmas pageant, and by Christmas pageant, is this the birth of Jesus?
I'm not religious, but it's where he is born, right?
Yeah, it's in the manger.
It's in a barn or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
okay. So that's the Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus, is what it is.
And every year something funny. Last year, a kid's beard fell off. A palm tree fell over on the top of the barn or one of the garage or whatever they're in. And then the other thing that happened was hysterical. And so one of the kids threw up backstage. He was so nervous. I mean, it's hysterically funny. So I got a letter from the principal.
I don't think it's funny about a kid throwing up.
Right. You bet. It's
and I mean that too.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do. See, you can't find humor in life, Bill. I think that is the difference between...
I think I know how to laugh. I don't think a kid throwing up or his beard falling off...
Okay. Can I get on?
Go ahead.
I got a letter from the principal of his private school. I spend $11,000 a year sending my kid to sixth grade. I got a letter. Your attendance would not be appreciated this year as your demeanor in the audience offends and upsets the children and parents who have come to see the children. So they are telling me...
They're telling you these are little kids. It's not supposed to be funny.
But it is. Haven't you ever, especially when we were younger... Let me ask you something, Phil. When we were younger, do you remember blasting up and you go out to see a bad B-movie, like a Japanese science fiction movie at the local theater, and you're stoned out of your mind?
I did a lot of things when I was a kid that I don't want to get into.
Oh, that means, folks, yes, he did. Okay.
All right, so maybe I did.
You remember how much fun that was?
You're a grown man with a little boy in the school. You're getting stoned out in the parking lot with your wife, going in and laughing at children in their Christmas pageant.
You know what I resent more than anything else? We're not allowed to laugh at kids. I resent that. I think we are living in a moral dictatorship where you can't even walk into an auditorium and do the natural thing, which is to watch one of these bad grade school productions of the birth of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One of these really bad productions. The kids come walking out. They go, "Oh, look, there is the Northern Star." It is a riot. And what I resent more than anything else, Phil, I think a lot of parents agree with me about this, is the moral dictatorship that allows me not to laugh, and I've got to stand there after I've blasted up a half a stick of some very decent Humboldt green, and I'm not supposed to laugh?
You won't let your kid in it.
Because it's bad.
And you don't want him to be a laughing stock.
Right.
Well, the people who complained were parents of the kids in the play. They're the ones that complained to the school they didn't want you there.
I can't help it if their kids are bad actors. But the slapstick is great. And I'm going to tell you something else. I have a right to laugh at these kids, even if I'm in front of their parents, because they're kids, and I'm going to say it, Phil, and I don't mean anything, any offense, but if I got to say it, I got to say it. As actors, your kids suck.
All right.
Of course they do. They're nine. What do you want up there, huh? You want Robert De Niro? You want Brando in the... what was he? What is the stuff that he did?
Who?
Brando.
He did, what, One-Eyed Jacks?
Yeah, whatever the hell. Brando and One-Eyed Jacks. No, the one on the stage.
Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, what do you want that?
They're asking me to pony up $5. And now, with the lousy donuts they serve and a little cup of 7-Up, that's going to come to about $6.50. And what do I got? Oh, look, Joseph, there's the star. It's lousy, Phil. I think we should do a better job at teaching our children how to be actors. I think it sucks.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell has been kept away. You're not allowed to go on campus to see the school play or not allowed in the auditorium.
They're not allowing us in the auditorium. And
okay, but you also were bringing in food?
We brought in a knapsack.
With food in it?
Yes.
So you're sitting there stoned, you're laughing, and you're eating what?
Now you're trying to make me look like a moral reprobate.
What are you eating?
We're eating Twix. I got some Twizzlers and things like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, sitting in an auditorium filled with parents of children in a school pageant, and he's sitting and he's laughing because the acting's so bad, because the kids up there on the stage are ridiculous looking, because you're stoned.
No, not because I'm stoned, because...
Well, you're getting high before you go in there.
Because these Christmas pageants with the baby Jesus and the whole, whatever it is, the three wise men, it's time somebody critically apprised these school productions and finally hold these teachers accountable that these kids are lousy actors, the scene, everything, the lighting, it all sucks.
Well, I don't know how many people are familiar with these school pageants, but I can tell you I've been to a few, and you know what? The whole idea is to go and see your kid.
Oh, is that it?
Yes, it's to go and see your kid being in the play.
Well, if you want to go and see your kid, I have a right to go and laugh at your kid.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell is sitting there in the middle of a school pageant laughing with his wife. They're high, laughing at other kids who are bad actors. The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
Production that absolutely has had you dropping a load in your pants. And so, oh, I'm sorry.
Are you stoned?
No, I'm not.
Ted Bell, so you've been told to stay away from your kids. You've been told not to come on campus. You've been told to stay away from the school summer Christmas pageant this year because you and your wife get high and laugh at the kids.
Here's the thing that I want to say to you, Phil.
But am I right about that? I hope I'm not misstating that.
That is true. We have been told to stay off of campus because, told to stay out of the auditorium because Marcy and I have a good time. We have an enjoyable time.
Laughing at children.
You know, Phil, the point I'm making is it isn't always a bad thing to laugh at how bad a kid looks when he's acting in one of these dopey school plays.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Ted, are you complaining about being thrown out or not?
I'm complaining that I was told that I can't laugh at these kids. I'm complaining that I was told that I'm not allowed to sit there as a free man in a free country and laugh at these kids. Now, I got a letter from the principal of this private school. I spend $11,000 sending my kid to fifth grade there. I got a letter, your attendance would not be appreciated this year as your demeanor in the audience offends and upsets the children. It is really funny to watch these kids. There's some little girl out there who is, obviously not right for the part. She's falling all over her robe. I mean, one kid fell off the stage one year. It was great.
You really think it's great that a parent, a kid falls off of a stage?
Well, no, it wasn't great that the kid fell off the stage.
No, that's what you said. It was great.
Well, it was funny. That's all I'm saying. You know, if you've been to enough of these school pageants, like maybe more parents should get a little stoned before they go to these shows. They won't take them as seriously as they do. You see these parents who are standing there, and I said at one point to Marcy, I saw a father get up, and he had one of these video cameras. And we just about crapped ourselves looking at that. That was the...
What was?
The fact this guy had a video. He was videotaping it. I mean, I said, look at this guy. It's not enough that he's seen this once. He's going to go home and watch it again. We just about dropped a load on that one. And if you as parents have the smallest amount of respect and love for your child, don't let them make an ass out of themselves in a school Christmas play. These parents look up at their kids like they're the next Meryl Streep.
All right, let them be the next Meryl Streep. Let the parents admire and love their children. You're laughing at them. They're keeping you out of there. Is that so much to ask that you not sit and laugh at my kid?
Are your kids in these things?
Yeah, my daughter, as a matter of fact, has been in a lot of these things. My daughter's been in plenty of these. And if you were sitting in the front row looking at her and laughing at her, I'd get pissed off, too.
So it's not a free country?
I beg your pardon?
So it's not...
Oh, don't get on that free country kick, man. It's a free country. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm saying I would get pissed, no matter how bad it was, and I'd be filming it, too.
For what? Are you going to watch it again?
Sometimes you do, yeah.
Oh, come on. Phil, you don't watch it more than once, and then you take the tape and you tape it over some porn. You use it, oh, look at this, here comes Chesty Morgan. Where's the tape? Oh, here's one. Well, it says it's the kids' Christmas play. Oh, that's crap. And you'll tape it over some Chesty Morgan action or some Janet Jameson two-minute reel. I mean, give me a break, Phil.
I've never taped porn over one of our kids' videotapes in my life.
Yeah, okay. Look, here's the deal. The kids are bad actors. If you saw a bad movie on TV, you'd laugh at it. I ought to be...
Because children are different, Ted. I shouldn't have to tell you this. You got a son, Josh.
You think after 4 months of rehearsing, the little girl playing the Jesus mom would be able to not to drop the damn doll? It was a riot. This girl dropped the Jesus doll. She's coming in. She just had it, I guess, and it bounced down the stage, down some stairs. Tell me that isn't funny.
Well...
Come on, give it up. Is that funny or what?
She dropped the Jesus doll and bounced down the stairs?
Yeah, when she dropped it, it rolled across the stage, bounced down the stairs, and out into the street, and got run over by a guy delivering ham.
That's pretty funny.
You're GD right it is. And the other thing I saw, the kids whose beard fell off, I mean, it fell off, but it went down the front of the rope. So it disappeared, but you can see the elastic hanging from it. And then the spirit gum didn't stick on one of the kids' mustache. It's great. Take in a school play, watch it, you'll piss yourself, it's so funny. It's the worst acting you've ever seen.
Well, that baby Jesus bouncing down the steps.
That's right. Let me tell you something. If people think Big Fat Greek Wedding was good, you got to go to one of these Christmas pageants, that's what they're called. Have you any idea what it looks like to see the ass end of a donkey fall off? That happened over here on this Christmas pageant play they had at the school, and it was one of these combined efforts.
All right, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I appreciate you being on the show, Ted. I just wanted to get to the bottom of this. I didn't have any idea that you were being told you couldn't be there. For $11,000 a year, I guess you ought to be able to.
Well, I'll tell you what, when the doll stopped bouncing, the baby head just sat there staring at the audience repeating, Mama, Mama, that's worth it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with some screwball, cockamamie, bullcrap, uninteresting aspect of his life, laughing after he twists up at some kid's Christmas pageant. He and his old lady twist up and then get high and go to the school pageant. Fantastic. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. You can hear classic bits like what we just did. On our website, for the next 30 days, you'll be able to hear it. Our website is philhenryshow.com. And when you go there, check out our Phil Henry Show World Famous CD, Best of the Year 2002 World Famous CD. That CD is available, and it is for sale, and it is going to benefit my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood. The number is 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. That's for our CD. Now, coming up on Friday, we got a webcast, and it'll be starting at 1 o'clock Pacific. It goes all the way to 7 p.m. Pacific, and the webcast is going to be covering basically the show prep. It's going to be showing our show such as it is on Friday. Let's hope it's a good one, and you'll be able to watch from the comfort, from the reassuring comfort of your own home, and see everything that goes on in the studio. Plus, the technology that we are going to be employing is a 360-degree. Do you have any idea what they call that camera, Craig? It's just a 360 view camera. Well, what it does is it'll sit there in a little you know, window on your monitor, and you can use your mouse to literally change the view of the camera all 360 degrees around the room. And also up and down, so that if you're looking at me, then you can pan it around the room. You can see Craig. You can see. And I wonder if they have improved some of the deeper graphics this year. I bet you they have done a lot of things with it over the last year. So join us on Friday for that. It's our webcast. It starts at 1 Pacific, goes all the way to 7 o'clock Pacific. Show prep and the show, the Phil Henry Show webcast. It's our second annual, and who knows what it is we're going to be doing. 1-800-449-8686, but like I hope I said, it's really, really good. Sometimes we have control over these things, and sometimes we don't. Later on in our program, I want to tell you, we are going to be interviewing Sean Penn. It was something that we were looking forward to try to do, something we wanted to try to nail down, and we've been able to do it. Sean Penn just returned from Iraq, where he was the guest, I guess, of the Iraqi government. I don't know. He went and he took tours, and we're going to find out just exactly what happened there in Iraq as he visited and toured and took pictures and generally just had a wonderfully social time there with the Iraqis. That's later on in the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
And now time for what's going on in my life. Not that it's interesting, but I obviously would like to relate this to you because this is where really all of my energy this afternoon has been devoted. See, when it comes to PMS, I'm actually very enlightened as a man. I've read up on it. I know some of the biochemical changes that take place in women. I know it's a very real thing. I know it's a very real physical phenomenon. It happens and it has to be dealt with. It's debilitating. In terms of mood, I don't know how many men out there are hypoglycemic, guys that don't eat. You know, if you don't eat, you get really cranky. Well, it's similar to that. You think that you're in control of your emotions, but you're really not. And one of the things you can do if you get PMS, you're a woman, you can lay off the booze for as long as you have it. Don't drink coffee. Don't eat chocolate. In fact, stay away from sugars. Drink tons and tons and tons of water and get as much rest as you can. Now, having said all of that, don't blame me when you get it.
Is Phil talking about his wife? What's he talking about? I don't know. It's, wow. Mumble.
Just don't blame me when you get it. I didn't invent it. I'm not God. And, oh, yeah, one other thing. Excuse me for being born a guy. I woke up, there it was, a penis. I just said, is that good, bad? I don't know, I was a baby. People are, ooh, he's my little fella. I'm thinking, hey, I'm getting some perks here for having this thing hanging between my legs. What do you know about that? Meanwhile, I see my kid's sister. She's following around because I get to wear the baseball uniform and she doesn't. And suddenly I gained this sense of superiority. Not because I wanted it. It was foisted upon me. When you're a man, you stride the earth, looking for worlds to conquer. Why? Because that's what they told you to do. You see, I got this theory, and it goes something like this. Women gave us the power. I don't know when it was, 10,000 years, 15,000 years. Women at some point made a conscious decision to turn it over to us. They looked out there. They saw saber-toothed tigers. They saw lions. They saw bears. They saw all that stuff. They said, you go, you do. We'll have a baby in the cave. Are you sure? Yeah, that's the deal. Well, what'll I do? We'll cook it when you bring it back. Okay. And ever since then, it's just been a struggle, right? It's been one guilt trip after the next. So let me just say this to get it back to the point. I didn't create PMS. I'm not God. I would, if it were up to me, I would get rid of it tomorrow. Of course, I'd get rid of male pattern baldness while I was on the subject. There's a lot of stuff I'd get rid of. I didn't start it, so forgive me for being a guy. It sucks. A lot of us have got wives. My wife actually doesn't go through it all that bad. She deals with it very well. I've had women in my life who were screaming banshees when they had it. Would throw things, threaten murder, homicide, call me in the middle of my workday. And other women who actually grew facial hair. Other women who would stalk the night, sucking blood from the necks of their victims. PMS strikes women in many different ways. One of the ways you can deal with it, guys, get garlic and a crucifix. It's a it's a, and a shaver. It's a wonderful way. I saw this great. I saw a magazine. It was a joke. PMS magazine shows a woman in an apron with a butcher knife. It's the greatest thing you ever saw in your life. So I didn't make it up, and I would do away with it. But you know something? If you get it, do something about it. Now, as men, we can help. Hey, honey, don't eat any sugar. Stay away from the booze. Stay away from the coffee. Stay away from the chocolate. All that crap that women like. You know, have good, healthy foods, drink a lot of water, rest up, stay off your feet, because I know some women's legs get sore. And other than that, don't bug me. If you're going to start bothering me about it, I would suggest you do something about it. Because it sucks, man. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't have it, but I've seen it. I've seen women wrestling with it. It's lousy. Just do something about it. Just go in there and do something. There's all kinds of things you can do. That would be like me saying, I don't like being bald, I don't like being bald, I don't like being bald, I hate being bald, right? Well, I'd go down at some point and get hair plugs, wouldn't I? Or something. I'd go get some weaves, I'd do something. Fact is, I don't care, but if I did, I would, like, try to take care of the problem. But if you're sitting there month after month after month saying, I get cramping, it's really bad, and your mood is up and down, and you're just, it's not a real joy to be around, I know what you could do. You know, whatever it is the doctor suggests you do, or your local witch doctor, man. Go down to the yoga expert, whoever, the nutritionist. Eat lots of St. John's wort. Ain't that the latest thing? I know. Have a hysterectomy. What are some of these herbs they're taking now? The Chinese herbal root, the St. John's wort, the mint tea, the grape tea, the fruit tea, the love tea, the love tree. I got an associate producer now, Chris Pelton, a man who I respect and admire, and yet today, this very day, went across the street to Starbucks for a peppermint mocha. And I said, when did it happen? When did you start liking guys? I digress. I'll bet it was tasty. Freaking Starbucks has destroyed the very fabric of manhood in this country. Cappuccino, chino, chino, latte, latte, Cubana, Americano? Not to belabor the point, I love my wife very much, and I hope she feels better. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, the people at Saks Fifth Avenue would rather have white people doing their advertising for them than black people, because Winona Ryder, she's been signed to do advertising for Saks Fifth Avenue, even though she's been convicted of shoplifting one of their items. Actually, it wasn't Saks Fifth Avenue so much as it was a designer, Marc Jacobs. He thinks she's just all that. She ripped off some of his clothes from Saks Fifth Avenue. She was wearing some of his clothes during her trial, but she also ripped off some of his stuff. But that hasn't stopped her from being signed, or at least from being approached as an advertising representative, as an icon, as a spokesperson for their product. Advertising expert Donnie Deutsch explains,
"We live in a world where notorious is good."
End quote. Oh, we do? Well, what about that black guy that was on that Pepsi commercial? Remember him? Everybody hated his living guts because he was dark and oily. He was black. 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 And if you're black and you've been popped, what did this guy get popped for? Oh, they were derogatory to women and they encouraged substance abuse. And he was black. So Pepsi yanked him. Now, Winona Ryder, on the other hand, she uses, quote, prescription drugs, end quote, and she rips off Saks Fifth Avenue, but she's going to be the new spokesperson for chic fashion guru Marc Jacobs, who has approached the troubled Ryder to front a new promotional campaign. Robert Duffy says,
"We'd like to use her. She's been a very good customer of ours."
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose she's worn stuff that she's purchased. But you see, one thing about shoplifters, Mr. Duffy, when they go to trial the one time they got busted, how many other times was she stealing stuff? How much other stuff of yours has she got crammed into those closets at home? I bet you she's got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Marc Jacobs crap in her closet that she never bought. If I were you, pal, and I'm not you because you are a far more successful man than me, but if I were you, I would hold her feet to the fire on this. I would say, we want you, Winona, but we ain't going to pay you top dollar because you got to pay back the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Marc Jacobs crud that you stole from Saks Fifth Avenue, that overpriced joint over there in Beverly Hills where you got to go. You go in there and get a gumball. It's $50. You ever been over there? Saks Fifth Avenue used to be a New York store, and they got out here in California, and you know, around the country. And you go in, and there's a pair of boots. I don't know. They fall apart in 6 months. $8 billion. I think I bought a pair of shoes there once. They lasted 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and now I look like I'm walking around with Bozo the Clown shoes. Have you ever seen, if you got a pair of shoes, like especially shoes that you slip on that have a weak sole? What happens is the leather doesn't hold and the toe begins to curl up. So you look like Bozo the Clown. You're walking around in an expensive suit, maybe, or you got on some slacks or a jacket, and you got Bozo shoes on. I noticed this in a picture of me and some friends of mine. I was wearing these shoes that I purchased that were, yeah, I don't know, a couple of $100. Or is that not enough? Should I have spent more? Is $250 too cheap for a pair of shoes? Anyway, I was Bozo. It was just the bosonic. Your shoe goes bosonic. I bought them at Saks. See, I ain't putting Winona down for stealing. What I'm putting her down for is, I ain't putting her down for nothing, in fact. She's got to make a living. I'm not even putting anybody down. I just think it's interesting she can pop pills and steal, and she gets a gig there with chic fashion guru Marc Ryder and Ludacris, a perfectly wonderful guy. So what if he uses? Whose business is it of anybody's? And he has lyrics that claim that are derogatory to women. Hey, maybe some of them are true. You ever thought about that? How am I feeling today, huh? Am I kindly disposed today to the female of the species? Anyway, the company pulled its spots after the Fox News Channel quoted Ludacris' lyrics he claimed were derogatory to women and encouraged substance abuse. So now the guy don't have no gig there at Pepsi, like I care. So there it is. There's the update. I just thought I'd lay it out there for you. Winona Ryder, she's doing good. I don't have any problem with people shoplifting. I did a lot of shoplifting as a kid, but I did it because I was hungry. Now, I know that I'm not going to lay a whole lot of poor me stories on you, because most of the poor me stories I hear are, I know, are phony. I hear a lot of people talking about, like, for instance, today I saw Trent Lott was quoted as saying, I'm the son of a Pascagoula shipyard worker I've had to fight all my life. Well, I'm sure his father worked in a Pascagoula shipyard. I doubt if he's had to fight all of his life. If he means by fight, like, throw black people out of restaurants, I guess. Yeah, but with Trent Lott, he's had to fight his whole life. It means he's had to take an axe handle to the head of some black guy who was trying to use a bathroom. I suppose that that's fighting. But most of the poor me stories that I hear, I can see right through them. Because I actually lived it for a couple of years of my life. I had to shoplift. I thought I was shoplifting because it was fun, but I shoplifted because I was hungry. I would come home from school, and there would be nothing in the icebox. And then my mother would have, I saw my mom had bought a new wig. Right? So I guess I got a lot of good stories about women. PMS, my mom buying a wig, Winona Ryder. Is there a pattern today in my life that I should I shift gears? Well, it's too late now. So I would come home and I'd see a brand new wig sitting there that my mother had purchased. And meanwhile, there's nothing to eat. So I'd go down to the market and I would shoplift steak and anything else I could slide down the front of my pants. And if you can believe that at one time in my life I was so skinny, I could get like three steaks down the front of my pants. And there was plenty of room there. And a lot of the housewives would look at the bulge there in the crotch and they'd be just, oh, Jesus. And would give me a ride home and things like that. But I would go home and cook these steaks up. And I would shoplift brownie mix. Anything I could shoplift. Cartons of cigarettes. And I got so good that I began training a friend of mine who wanted to know how I did it. He said, you're fantastic. I said, well, this is what you do, man. First of all, you got to wear a big coat. Then you got to slide the stuff down the front. And you got to do it fast and get it under your shirt. A lot of the stores now have those fisheye mirrors. Got to do it fast. And always buy something. Don't go in, rip off, and walk out. Have enough bread to buy something. So came the day, I guess he was going to rip off some cigarettes, and I was waiting in the car for him, and he came out walking with his back to the store and his hands up in the air as if to say, I did it. And coming out of the store, he didn't see, was racing this security guard who wrestles him to the ground. He's arrested, and he's in jail overnight. And now, the last I heard is because of repeated years of homosexual behavior, as a result of the jail time, he's now a girl. He had a sex change. So I just want to say hello to my good friend, Phyllis, because of the repeated sexual assault that he took. Now, I don't think so. But how do I know? So I don't have any problem there with people shoplifting. Just don't be a movie star when you do it, okay? 1-800-449-8686, because it pisses me off. 877-616-PHIL is the number for our website, for the number for our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, the year 2002 Best of CD, world famous. It's available now at that number. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, order any of our CDs, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And again, that is a charitable donation, and it helps out some great people. So is Sean Penn, he's back now from Iraq, and we're going to interview him next hour. He has returned from his fact-finding mission. He's been photographed. He had a personal conference with Tariq Aziz, the foreign minister. And he has decided for himself, whatever that is, we don't know. But he's back from Iraq. I've been reading these polls that nobody really wants to go to war with Iraq. They said we need more proof. I agree. I think we got to get more proof. I think the president needs to say whatever he's got to show us what he's got. I totally agree. But I suspect that even if the president had proof that Saddam Hussein buggered kindergartners, a lot of Americans would, I don't know if that's bad enough to go to war over, he didn't fly it into the World Trade Center, I just really have this stinking suspicion. I'm completely in favor of finding out what the proof is, but I sure as hell want to do something about it once I got it, okay? I don't want to use this as some excuse to kind of backpedal on this thing and get back to life the way it was before all of that bad stuff on 9/11. Can't we just go back? So I think that if you had, and I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, I don't care. Sean Penn, I feel sorry for the guy. He looked like a real, real fruit ball to me. Having a private audience with Tariq Aziz. What did he learn, huh? how they're building Disneyland in Baghdad next year. Huh? Maybe they want to build a film studio or something. Hey, what do you think? Maybe Sean Penn is going to be the spokesman for the Baghdad Tourist Bureau. Hello, I'm Sean Penn for the Iraq Tourist Bureau. You know, it's a great place. You can come and look at some of the blowtorch toilets. It's a great place to have your gonads. I mean, to have your, get a rub down. Tie some electrodes to yourself. And... All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
So, Brad, you work as a collector for the Salvation Army, huh?
Yes, sir. I work for the Salvation Army for several years as a collector. I volunteer. I enjoy it. I've been successful collecting money. And
where are you?
Right now I'm in the San Fernando Valley. We're over at Delman Mall. But I'm all over the San Fernando Valley, Plaza Mall, at the Fashion Square and other places like that.
And you called in. You wanted to give people a tip when they see the Santas collecting money for Christmas time?
We just want to send a message that we appreciate that people give, and we ask them when they do not to disrespect us, to treat us with respect, to, I guess what I'm trying to say is be adult enough. If you're not going to throw money in our bucket, then, you know, look us in the eye and don't, like, hide your eyes or anything.
Well, what do you call disrespect? Are people throwing things at you?
No, I mean, what most people do is they don't look you in the eye. If you're going to walk past me and not give me any money, that's okay. But at least look me right in the eye. And don't, like, keep your head down and walking into the store. I see so many people keep their head down or they avoid their eye contact with the Santa Claus who's collecting money. I've noticed this with my other people that I know who collect money for the Salvation Army. So I started picking up on it myself. And I would see people as they would come into into the parking lot or going into the store, and I'd look at them, and they walk by, and I keep looking, and they never look up and look me in the eye. So one day, I decided that I'd had enough of that. I mean, that's obvious disrespect. It shows you not only disrespect the gentleman who's collecting money for the cause, but it shows that you don't even respect the needy, like you think you're better than they are.
Well, do you really think it means that? I mean, a lot of people don't look at the Santa. You say when you look in the eye, you mean...
Be man enough to look me in the eye and say you don't want to give me any money. Just be man enough, be woman enough to do that. But when people don't look you in the eye...
Well, be man enough. Some people don't want the discomfort of... You know, here's the thing that my wife says.
Well, what's discomfortable about it?
Here's something my wife says. We give to charity. We have a couple of charities that we're active with, and that's what we do. And all the other charities can just maybe go find their own patrons. So what I do is, I mean, you know, we work with my friend's place.
What kind of attitude is that? I mean, all I'm asking for is a nickel or a quarter. I'm not asking for $100,000. I know you sell your CD, but I'm not asking for $150,000, $200,000.
Well, wait a minute. The point is that when I walk by one of those Santas, I don't throw anything in there because I do with other organizations.
Well, to me, that's a very... I mean, I don't mean to disrespect you, Mr. Henry, but that's a cheap point of view.
Why? Because I'm not dropping a quarter in your bucket?
Well, but just if you don't want to... I'm not even going to comment on that. I just, if you can't afford a quarter for the bucket for the Salvation Army, there's something seriously wrong with you and your life.
It's not about me affording.
No, I know, not you, but if somebody walks by my bucket and I'm collecting for the Salvation Army and they can't even throw a quarter in, there's something very, very seriously wrong with them, their lives, their morality, and their approach to life. And if you're not going to do that, at least you can look me in the eye and tell me, no, I'm not going to throw any money in there, because I think it disrespects me.
Well, this is an interesting point of view. So you want to be looked in the eye.
Right. I said to a guy, and you got the news story there, right?
Well, I see there's a fax here of a news story in the San Fernando Valley paper that you accosted a person walking there into the Delman Mall saying, hey, something along the lines of, hey, why don't you look me in the eye?
No, and I said, this guy was getting out of a car. It would look like one of these Jaguars or something. And he's walking with this girl, and I watched him, okay? He never once looks behind. And then I said, hey, how about looking? You don't want to give me any money. Look me in the eye when you walk by me. That's all I ask. If you don't want to give any money, look me in the eye like a man, and that kind of sends the message
It sends the message of what? That I'm not giving any money? What are you going to do about it?
No, not that. I mean, it shows that, hey, I'm not giving you any money. Okay, but I know you're there. I'm not ignoring you. I have the right to demand disrespect, but I'm not going to let anybody walk by me without giving me eye contact.
Which leads us to the second half of the story here. You are known as the talkative Santa there at the Delman Mall. People say that you're always talking to them, that you're always wishing everybody Merry Christmas, but on occasion, you have, according to store officials, been quote, aggressive.
Right. I don't let nobody go by me without looking me in the eye. You're not going to give me any money? Hey. You're not going to give me any money? A lot of people say, no, I'm not. Then you look me in the eye when you don't give me any money. Don't you make eye contact with me.
Well, it's... Okay, we're talking here with Brad Rifkin. He's a Santa at the a couple of malls in the Santa... You're not a Santa, right? You don't have the kids on your lap?
No, I'm just one of the... Santa's helpers for the Salvation Army. We collect money for the different programs, and I'm ringing a bell. I do all that stuff that they do. But I don't let nobody go by without them staring me in the eye like a man and saying, I don't have any money to give you, because I want to know why. Because a lot of times I'll see people go in, and maybe they don't look me in the eye, maybe they do, and they go in, then they buy something. And when they're coming out, I'll say, oh, okay, so in other words, you didn't have any money for me going in, but you got plenty of money to buy crap in that store. Thanks a lot. This is something that a lot of people don't get. They think we're stupid. They think...
You're hassling people coming out of the store.
I'm not hassling them.
No, but if I look you in the eye and I don't want to give you any money, go in the store and I buy myself a bunch of stuff and I'm coming out...
If you look me in the eye, at least you deserve the respect of a man. But if you don't look me in the eye, you go into the store, you buy a bunch of stuff, then you come out with the stuff... And I said to this lady who came out of the store, I said, you know something, half of that crap is going to be broken in 6 months. She came out with, I forget what, a coffee maker, an ice cream maker, one of those cheap crap ice cream makers that start squeaking in a week. She comes out with one of these coffee makers made by the Krupp family. Ain't they the ones that that persecuted the Jews in World War II? Then she comes out with... I think she was one of them floor sweepers. I said, all that garbage, and you don't have a quarter for me. And that's what got me in trouble at that mall.
Well, the lady said that you all the way to the car, you were harassing her.
No, I did not all the way to the car.
Well, did you follow her?
No, I did not. I stood there, and I said, oh, don't have any money for me, huh? But you're buying all of that garbage. I just feel that if you buy something in the store, then you put money in my bucket. If you don't, then you better have a reason why.
All right, Brad, you know... I have the right to go into a store, not put any money in your bucket, not look you in the eye, buy stuff, and come out, and I don't have to listen to your crap.
Well, I got a right to say what I want to say.
Yeah, but you're saying things to people like, what was this, there's a man here by the name of Mr. Pena?
Right.
Okay, Mr. Pena was coming out of the Delman Mall in the San Fernando Valley, and apparently you made some race reference?
No, I didn't make I said, how can you afford all that stuff on the money that most Mexicans make? That's all I said.
All right, this Mr. Pena is an insurance executive with a major company in Panorama City.
I didn't know that. All I knew is the guy was a Mexican, and he goes in. He don't look me in the eye. That's number one. I don't want any time you go in the store, look me in the eye like a man. Then he comes out, and he's got, think about this guy, but, I know what it was. It was fertilizer stakes, garden hose. I looked through the bag. I stopped this guy. I stopped him. I didn't give a. I stopped him, and I looked at the bag. Fertilizer stakes.
You stopped him.
I stopped him, and he had a garden hose, and he had. And then I said, "How do you afford all of this on the money that most Mexicans make?" And that's when he turned around and complained.
Well, that's a stupid thing to say.
What's that?
What you said to him is a stupid thing to say.
He didn't look me in the eye. If you look me in the eye and tell me I can't give you any money, and then you can go in the store and I'll let you come out and go. But if you don't look me in the eye, then you come out of the store and you got a bunch of stuff, then I'm going to say I have a right to make a comment. And he doesn't look like he made enough money on the money that most Mexicans make. Now, you say he's an insurance guy. And if you're not going to put money in the bucket, then maybe you should take your patronage someplace else, somewhere there's no Santa with a bucket.
Well, that's not your decision to make.
Well, but why can't he look me in the eye?
Whether he looks you in the eye or not, to make the assumption, hey, how do you afford all that stuff on the money that most Mexicans make? The guy's an insurance executive. He's a man. He was a wealthy man.
Well, he didn't look like it to me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that's Brad. He's one of those guys that stands outside the market when you go in. He's the Santa Claus with the bell. He doesn't like people going by, not giving money, and not looking him in the eye. He says most people go by with their eyes cast down, not throwing money into the Santa Claus bucket. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Just looking in the bag, because if you don't look me in the eye.
We're talking here with Brad Rifkin. He's a guy that collects money for the Salvation Army at stores. You want people looking you in the eye as they walk by.
Yeah, if you don't want to give me no money, look me in the eye and say, hi, how you doing? I ain't going to give you any money. The worst offenders, Phil, by the way, are these kids that buy stuff. They think they're so grown up with their little wallet. They come in, they got their little wallet and their little purchase. And when they can put some money in the bucket, or they can look me in the eye, or they'll feel a tap on the shoulder from Santa, because I'm not going to take that disrespect from a kid. It's bad enough you get it from an adult. But some brat walks in, and he's got...
Why do you call them brat? You are Santa Claus, okay, to a lot of these kids. What do you mean brat?
Well, these are the older ones. And they go in, and they say, I got my wallet, here's some stuff, and I'm going to pick it up, and I go out. And that kid doesn't look me in the eye. I got to take disrespect from some suburban kid in his daddy's Beamer coming into town to cop and decides to go into the store to get some licorice because he's high on rock? Forget it.
You know, you've got a very, very interesting worldview, sir.
It's not my worldview. It's the people who won't look me in the eye.
1-800-449-8686. Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Justin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, what's the man's name who takes the donation?
This is, what is your name, sir? You're Brad?
Brad Rifkin.
I'm Justin.
Yeah, how you doing?
Brad, I just want to let you know, one of these days you're going to stop the wrong person. I'm a 21-year-old single father. And if they right now...
Hold on, watch the language.
Wait a second. You're coming by my bucket, you don't look me in the eye?
That's right. I'm going to look you in the eye until you get out of my face. But if you ever try to touch my bag or any of my stuff
I got a right to look through your bag. If you don't put no money in my bucket, why can't I look through your bag?
No, you can't. What, are you crazy? You're going to get arrested.
Well, let me ask you something. You don't put no money in my bucket. You don't look me in the eye. Then you come out by it. What do you mean you're a single father? What's that mean?
You don't need to be worried about getting arrested. You need to be worried about getting your teeth knocked out.
Wait a minute. By who? You?
By me. Did anyone ever stop me like that?
That's a hot one.
What?
That's a hot one. You're going to stop me? Look, pal, my right hand has seen it all. If you go into that store, you don't look me in the eye, I'm going to look through your bag.
Wait a minute. What is the point of Santa Claus on Christmas getting into fistfights with patrons in stores?
If you think you got a few too many things in your bag, I'll make sure you take something back to that store so you can put some money in my bucket.
Sure you will.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to drive people away from the store. I don't even think you're serious.
Well, why is it that people go into the store and they don't even look at me?
They don't
I
want
think
to
he's
look.
Just looking for an excuse. I think he's got nothing better to do. I think
you're looking to start a fight. You're looking to start a fist fight.
He's looking to start a fight in the wrong place. He needs to go to a bar if he wants to fight.
All I'm asking, okay, I'll give you your due. But what about these kids that don't look me in the eye? They go in and they buy crap. And they come out with their bag of crap, and they don't give me any money.
That's fine. They've got the right to do that. Who are you to say they can't do that?
I'm there. I'm collecting for the Salvation Army.
That's fine. But who are you to say that they have to make a donation if they go in there and buy crap?
Okay, so why don't they look me in the eye?
You really got a thing about getting looked in the eye, don't you?
Yeah. I do. I want you to look me in the eye and say, hey, I don't have any money.
What if the guy did what Justin said, looked you in the eye and said, get out of my face. Get you, your bucket, and your Santa suit out of my face.
Then we got a problem. Then we're going to dance.
Then you're going to dance.
That's right.
This has nothing to do with looking this man in the eye. It goes further than that. It has nothing to do with that. This guy's got issues. He's going to get beat up in front of one of these stores, and then he's going to learn a lesson.
Hey, I've been beat up 6 times since I've been working this job.
Yeah?
I got a lacerated kidney. I got 2 broken ribs.
I find it hard to believe that you keep that job.
I've had my ass kicked 6 times.
I don't doubt it at all. Who do you work for, the Salvation Army?
A lot of different people. But I've always been effective because I get money, see? And so.
And you don't mind getting your ass kicked?
No. I mean, if it gets money for the charitable causes, I do a lot of things to get my ass kicked.
6 times this guy's had his ass kicked. Let me ask you, Justin, is it worth it for you to drop a few pennies in his bucket if you could kick his ass?
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
Well,
come on by, drop a quarter in the bucket and kick his ass.
Wait a minute.
That's the deal maker right there.
You guys
should just leave a sign. You should hang a sign around your neck.
Kick my ass
for
a quarter?
Take a free punch for a quarter. If you're so worried about getting money for the Salvation Army, why don't you sacrifice yourself?
Wait a minute, are you guys laughing at me?
Yeah, we're laughing at you. What are you kidding?
You're laughing at me.
Yes! Had your ass kicked 6 times? Thanks, Justin, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Raul, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, this is Raul Fernandez.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I think that guy's a jerk. I don't think the Salvation Army would hire people like that.
Do you ever go by the guy with the bucket and not look him in the eye?
I always give money up to this year. I'll boycott it this year if they hire people like you.
You don't work for Salvation Army, though, do you, sir?
I don't work directly for Salvation Army.
Then why do you use their name?
I said it's like the Salvation Army.
Well, you're giving the Salvation Army a bad name.
Why? I want people
you're a jerk.
Why am I a jerk? Because you won't look me in the eye?
You're intruding on people's privacy. You know, this is supposed to be for good cause.
Hey.
Not to be insulted by a bigot.
Do you ever... How am I a bigot?
Because you said the guy doesn't make enough money for a Mexican.
That's correct.
Wait a minute. Are you Mexican?
I am.
Okay. I bet you you don't make as much money as a white man, right?
That's not an issue right here.
That's what
you're
saying.
A bigot.
So when this guy comes out, I says, you got all that money there. How about kicking in? And he goes, nah. I said, well, let me look and see what you got in the bag.
So what you're doing is you're muscling people and you're bullying people for a lousy quarter.
Okay. Let's say this. All I want is for a guy, when he walks by, as he's walking, his head keeps turning, looking at me, looking me in the eye, and says, no. How about that? That's all I ask.
Well, nah, but you know, they got a right to go anywhere they want without having to look at you. And knowing the way you are, I wouldn't even want to look at you, and definitely wouldn't give any money.
You can say no, so long as you say no, looking me in the eye.
I don't have to say anything.
You don't want to say that?
I don't even have to say anything. You're an idiot.
I think it's a sad...
You know, your life would be better off without people like you.
As it's a sad world where you can't look a man in the eye and say, no, I'm not giving
you. Some things in life you're better off not seeing, and you're one of them.
What is it? You want to be insulted?
No, I just simply want them to look me in the eye and say, no, I won't give you a quarter. I wouldn't give you a quarter if you were the last man alive on the planet.
I'm not giving you a quarter, and not giving Salvation Army a quarter.
Well,
I'm not giving anybody.
No, wait a minute. He doesn't work for the Salvation Army. Don't get those
guys.
Well,
but that's... You know what?
All I'm asking you...
Yeah, you are impersonating.
No, I'm not. I wear a Santa suit with a bucket. Look, at, all I'm asking for is that if you're cheap, you don't be disrespectful to.
Nah, you're an idiot.
You see
that's all
saying,
I got to say.
All right, thanks, Raul. 1-800-449-8686. Charlie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Charlie?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, listen, I'm an out-of-state truck driver, and I'm listening to this show. It's a good show. But I can't believe that you'd get on the radio there and expect people to look you in the eye and, you know, try to give you respect when, I don't, this is just my personal opinion. You don't deserve any respect, for one.
What did I do wrong?
How in the world can any company that you're working for, I don't know who they are, I don't know how they can even... not worry about getting into a lawsuit with some of the approaches that you try to get out of people to look you in the eye, give you respect, which, in my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, you don't deserve any respect because you're a hard nose. And number two, it's like you are demanding them to, you know, give up some money or I'm going to search your bag.
Right.
And I'm like the other guy that called a while ago. You're going to approach the wrong person. Somebody's going to jack your jaw to where you ain't going to even be able to talk again or even ring a bell. So you need to get your life a little bit together.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
I want to bring on a very special guest now, somebody I'm excited to have on the program. He has returned from Iraq. He is the star of I Am Sam. He is the star of so many great motion pictures. Sean Penn joins the Phil Henry Show to talk about his visit to Iraq and to tell us what he's learned. First of all, Sean, I want to ask you, how is it you gained access? And first of all, thanks for being on our show. How is it you gained access to Iraq?
Well, I promised Hussein he could work me, jail style, I guess is the way you put it.
He's going to work you jail style?
Right. Well, I don't really, I don't talk to the press.
Okay, I want to be clear. You got into Iraq by offering Hussein jail sex?
Yeah, it's pretty much how it's done. So,
well, why did you go?
Well, I got a movie coming out, Mystic River. It's a way of promoting a film. This is standard, really. You do something big and splashy and flashy in the movie. It's very standard. It's I thought pretty ingenious. And so, for me, it was a exciting opportunity to promote our film and act like I cared about some kids who had their faces blown off. I was really, to be honest with you, I was really disgusted by all of it, the smell and the stench and everything.
Let me ask you, okay, you're promoting a movie. Do you care at all about the people of Iraq? Are you promoting a movie? Are you in solidarity with other actors or other actors? Tell me where the moral bedrock is on this thing.
Well, no. I mean, first of all, I'm a movie actor, so it's all about image. And so I go to Iraq to promote a movie, but I make it seem like I care about kids, right? But I can't go over there unless I get first-class treatment, okay? I met the deputy prime minister or whatever the hell he was. He was some towel wrapper, I can't remember. And I didn't tell him I was a Jew either. See, that's the whole thing. If I had, then I probably would have been traded around by not only Hussein would have just passed me around that whole table of guys, just offered it up to all of them. But because I didn't bring that up, I only had to put out for him and this Aziz guy too, by the way. But it gives me access, makes me look like I care.
Can I ask you something? You're coming up with a lot of stuff here. You're talking about jail sex with Hussein, and you went over there to promote a movie. Do you have where is the for instance? You don't go to the Academy Awards, do you?
No, I don't. I like the Academy Awards a lot, but I don't go.
So why don't you go?
Because I want it to seem like I'm a tortured, like I'm a misunderstood artist. I'm a tortured artist. You see, and the Academy Awards are painful. It's painful to win. It's painful to have a film that sells. It's very painful just to be loved. I'd rather be hated. I'd rather be I'd rather be ignored. It's just, it hurts. I mean, I don't really feel that way, but I want people to think it hurts me to show up at the Academy Awards, and it pains me like I'm passing a kidney stone through my urinary tract to show up at the Academy Awards and talk like a civil human being to Army Archer. It feels as if I'm passing a gallstone the size of a softball.
Well, does it?
What?
Is it that painful?
No, it's not, but I want it to seem that way. All right, so that chicks, a lot of women love that, it's a soft side of me. Yeah?
Okay. We're talking to Sean Penn on The Phil Hendry Show, and we are talking about his view of the political reality of Iraq, why he was in Iraq, what he saw. I saw you taking pictures. What was that about?
Yeah, that was not supposed to happen. I'm doing a movie in about a year, and I just want to get some, just want some background,
What's the movie about?
That's none of your business. But no, it.
Well, okay, forget. Why are we taking pictures of a kid with his face blown off?
No, it's just I just want to make it look like I had something to do. Otherwise, I'm standing there and I'm saying, "Hi, how you doing?" It smelled in there. I wanted to just take a few pictures and get out of there. And I can sell them. There's freaks on the internet. They like that kind of stuff. So.
All right. I don't have anything else.
Why not?
Because you're dull, man. You really.
Wait. I've spent a whole...
No, you're dull. I just don't want to talk to you anymore.
I've spent a whole career trying to build this mystique, and you're... What, are you blowing me off?
Yeah, I'm blowing you off. You're dull and you're boring, and you haven't made too many really good movies.
No, as an actor, hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. I want to be clear about this.
No, you're boring the hell out of me with your comments. Get out of here.
No, hold on. Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
As an actor, I allowed Saddam Hussein to have me like a jail punk. Okay? Because I need to feel pain as an artist, and yet you're blowing me off the line?
Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel pain?
Yeah, it hurts even more. And about in the same area.
Well, good. Then I'm helping your bullcrap persona as the tortured artist.
I feel it would be an honor to kick your ass if I ever see you someplace.
Well, great. You can try, anyway.
Oh, yeah, I could try. You're a tough guy, huh?
When it comes to you, yes, I'm probably pretty tough. Yes, I am.
How tall are you?
8 feet, six.
How much do you weigh?
920 pounds.
Yeah, you kick my ass.
Yeah. 1-800-449... Worked all day on that interview. He sucks. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
By the way, the preceding impression of Sean Penn was a celebrity voice that was impersonated, is what I wanted to say, so that we're clear on that. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. What line is he holding on to? Hi, David.
What are you doing?
Doing my show.
No, but the thing you just said. Celebrity voice impersonated?
Yeah, the celebrity voice impersonated.
What makes you think you had to do that? That was the...
What makes you think what?
What makes you think you had to say that? That was not a very clear... I wouldn't call that, Nobody's going to think that was Sean Penn, Phil. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I didn't think so, but I thought I would make a legal statement.
No one is going to believe that that was Sean Penn. What do you mean celebrity voice impersonated? That was you. I don't know what you were doing.
Okay, but I just did it to cover us.
Do you think that was a good voice?
No, I don't.
Well, then what...
I was trying to make a point about the guy, okay? It's got nothing to do with whether the voice was any good. I was trying to make a point.
That he has jail sex with Hussein.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I said it. Yes.
Jesus. What, are you looking to get sued?
Well, I thought it wasn't such a very good impression of Sean Penn, so how am I going to get sued?
You're going around saying that Sean Penn got into Baghdad because he was passed around by Hussein and his cronies like a jail punk, and you don't know why you're going to get sued? Come on!
I can say that if I think it happened, or even if I didn't think it happened, in a satirical sense. Why don't you leave me alone, okay? Every time I do something that you don't like, you're calling up.
You leave me alone, okay?
All right. Well, thanks a lot. You're so adult.
Phil, I'm just saying, it was a bad impression.
I got that.
And watch that jail punk stuff.
Yeah. You too, by the way, from what I've heard. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I don't care if it didn't sound like Sean Penn or not. That wasn't the point. I have to say celebrity voice impersonated. Otherwise, there's going to be one schmuck out there that thought it was really him. And the next thing I know, I'm getting sued by Sean Penn because he heard that I was doing him. And he's already been done by Saddam Hussein. Actor-activist Ed Begley, speaking of a guy being done, overcame his fear of heights and scaled an ancient oak tree in an effort to keep it from being cut down to make way for a road widening project. Begley joined John Quigley, an environmental activist who has spent 44 days in the branches. I'm not a climber, the actor said Saturday. I'm not good with heights, but it was very important, so I put that aside and just climbed on up. Begley, who hasn't had an acting job in 4 years, hung out in the 400-year-old tree for 90 whole minutes before his driver came and picked him up and took him away. Begley complained of splinters and was hospitalized with exhaustion. The tree has become a rallying point for Southern California environmentalists. Begley hung out in the 400-year-old tree for 90 minutes. The conservation advocate supports asking the developer to postpone the road widening project or rerouting the road around the oak. You know, there's never been a time in the history of man on this planet, never has there been a time in the history of man on this planet that we have been more concerned with environment, race relation, the poor, women, homosexuals, people who are transgender, transvestites, immigrants, farmers, school kids, children, sex predators. There's never been a time in the history of the world that the human race has reached such a point that we have an awareness of all of these things and we want to do the right thing. I'm proud to be a human being in the year 2002, because never has the human race wanted more to do the right thing by a lot of different people, and it causes a lot of conflict. So maybe Ed Begley can climb down and out of the tree. Because we at the Phil Henry Show say, cut down the tree and make toilet paper out of it so we can wipe our ass with that tree. And now, that was written, by the way, by Craig Taylor, my engineer. Didn't it sound like I was reading it? Craig, you're, I'm loving you, man. So we at the Phil Henry Show say, make toilet paper out of that tree so we can wipe our ass with that tree. I don't know what to do with the tree, but I will say this. Ed, it's taken care of, man. John Quigley's on the job, baby. He's up that tree. I heard all about it long before you got involved in it. Long before Ed Begley climbed up a tree, I knew John Quigley was up that tree. And if you've never been to Santa Clarita or the Caneo Valley in California, there's some gorgeous, I know because, Chris, you're from there, gorgeous oak trees. Beautiful oak trees. That's why they call it Thousand Oaks, because there's oak trees everywhere, and they're really old trees, and they take a long time to get really huge. And if you've ever been to Santa Barbara, California, you get off the 101 or somewhere around State Street, and there is a huge old oak tree there that we used to call the tree when we used to hitchhike back in the hippie days. And this was back when there wasn't any 101 through there. It was just all lights. There's four sets of lights. Big, beautiful tree. Did you get nobody? And used to see hundreds of people sleeping under it and sitting under it and just, you know, hanging out. Tree's still there. I mean, I'd commit murder if I knew that somebody was going to cut that tree down. So I can dig how people get attracted and attached to trees, right? John's on the case there. Ed, why don't you go back and plant some freaking petunias? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Oh, we already took the break? All right. On a lighter note, tell you what I would like to do. I would like to tell you about our 2002 CD, and it's called World Famous. Where is it, man? Here it is. Let me give you a taste of this thing. World Famous is a two-CD set. And here's what we were going to play for you. Something called Jay Santos with the Spelling Test. Did we play this the other day? Here is Jay Santos with the Spelling Test. It's from our 2002 Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, World Famous.
Hey, what city do you live in, man?
I'm in Coconut Creek.
Coconut Creek.
Right.
That's in the United States, right?
Florida.
Florida. Okay.
And what is your name, sir?
And my name's Jay Santos, man. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Sanders?
Jay Santos.
Santos?
What if the lady, this lady, she's talking to her daughter.
Hold on, Phil. That's S.
I can't hear you.
S-E.
S-E?
Yeah, A.
S-E-A?
R.
S-E-A-R.
L.
What was that?
S-E-A-R-L.
L. Go ahead.
J.
J?
M.
M? Let me repeat that, please.
Yes, go right.
Sound like that. S-E-A-R-L-O-G-M?
Yes, that's right. Santos.
Let me ask you a question. Your last name is Santos?
Yeah.
What do you mean, S-E-A-R-L-O-J-M?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That is how it's pronounced, all right? And my family.
What language?
My family's from Croatia.
From where? Croatia?
From Croatia, yes, ma'am.
You know, they had a lot of spies from Croatia.
I got another question. What if the woman doesn't want to give you the...
What?
There was a plane hijacked by Croatians a few years ago.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Rosalind.
It's Rosalind what?
I said Brodsky.
How do you spell that?
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
S-A-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-A-Y.
No, you're not saying it right.
All right, B-R-O...
D.
D. T.
D is in David.
D is in, I'm terribly sorry, B-R-O-D...
S-K-Y.
S-K-I?
We must have a bad connection.
All right, man, what I got, here's what I got. G-R-U-V-E-I.
Well, that's not Brodsky. That's Groove.
Now, you didn't get what I said.
What did you say, ma'am? You said...
I said Brodsky. I said B as in boy.
B as in boy.
R-O-G as in David.
R as in what?
What?
R as in what?
As in Rosalind.
All right, R as in Rosalind. O as in...
O as in orange.
Okay. Then D as in David.
Yeah.
S as in Leonard.
What?
I mean,
S as in Sam.
Sam.
K.
K as in what?
K as in kitten.
And then Y.
That's
in,
right.
Right. Y as in what?
What?
What are you asking? Y as in what? Y as in yellow.
Yo-yo?
Yeah, yo-yo. There you go. Yo-yo.
I can't read my own writing. I don't know that.
Brodsky. Never mind, Rosalind. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is your social security number again?
I'm not giving it to you.
All right. I do need something. I need a bank, current balance in your bank account then.
Are you kidding?
I need to have that. How old is your daughter, ma'am? Anything. Just give me a number. How old are you?
I am 80.
What's your phone number? You're 80.
All right.
That's right.
Never mind, Rosalind. Don't give him any more information.
Okay.
Are you interfering with the anti-terrorist?
Oh, shut up. There it is. That's from World Famous. That is our new CD. We played a couple of three cuts from the CD. There is 135 minutes worth of material on it. And it's available now on our website, philhenryshow.com. It's also available by calling this number, 877-616-7445. What a perfect Christmas gift. Pick up the CD and give it to the one you love. And if you love yourself, give it to yourself. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Thank you.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.